This is the Roaring Elephant Podcast, and we're back again, another week gone, another week down the drain, but next week is coming. It's going to be a beautiful week because summer is coming slowly, but well, it's right outside. Maybe I've got my own personal little sun in the house here, Dave.
I was going to say, maybe not summer, but certainly spring feels very much just around the corner. I was having a conversation with someone just this week, and they mentioned the fact that winter was coming to an end, or I mentioned the fact that I must try and do this while winter's still here. And they said, well, you haven't got much time left because we're nearly in spring. And it blew my mind, I think mainly because winter has been pretty mild, generally speaking. I don't know if it's been the same for you, Jan.
Yeah, we had a little bit of snow and during the end of year holidays. But yeah, I mean, the thing that I saw this week, which is why I had this into my head, is actually migrating birds are coming back already.
Wow.
I really saw these whole big V swarms in the sky. And that's something I usually don't expect until end of March, April-ish. February already I saw these. As the news says, nature is out of whack. And we are here to set the record straight that we're out of whack too.
As long as by nature you mean categories of open source software that organizations have invested the most terms in terms of projects, budget, and resources.
Again, if you're not on YouTube for this one, we'll be showing a lot of graphs again. Well, a lot last episode we showed one. I did two today. So if you want to see what we're talking about, go to YouTube. If you don't want to see them, just listen to what we're talking about, and we'll probably hit all the highlights anyway.
Indeed. So we are continuing this state of open source survey and the comparison between last year's results and this year's results. And, you know, hitting the highlights here, like the biggest change, I think we can agree, but we'll see, is that databases and data technologies this year are the number one big ticket item that people are investing most in terms of projects, budget, and resources. And, you know, that's jumped up by, you know, around about, I think around about 10%, no, about 5%, but it's gone from like third place up to first place, and first place by a pretty significant margin. And I, again, you know, last year the top one was software development lifecycle tools, which, you know, I think that's probably, you know, things like Jenkins and other sort of automation and SDLC, software development lifecycle tooling. But this year, databases and data technologies being front and center kind of makes sense to me. We talked about this last episode and probably the episode before, where, you know, this survey would have been taken at the early stages of kind of a bit of an economic downturn happening, and databases and data technologies are genuinely pretty expensive, and can be some of the easier things to replace with open source. And if someone's looking to make some changes in the way that they're investing, probably a pretty good place to invest. So I think, you know, not terribly surprising that databases and data technologies are at the front here. But Jan, what's your perspective on this one?
I got a little different perspective, because I think this is more about breaking the graph from last year to this year. Because database data technology, yes, they're at the top now, and they were near the top before. Mm-hmm. They did jump ahead in percentages, but that's fair. For me, the biggest change is that the software development lifecycle tools, horrible word, have dropped so much.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they actually dropped all that much, because in last year, you had these SDLC tools. In this year's, you have the SDLC tools. And they split out DevOps, GitOps, DevSecOps tooling, which in my opinion is also a part of lifecycle management stuff, because Git is part of that thing. And if you add
But DevOps tooling was in the previous one.
Where was that? Yeah, but that's DevOps tooling, and that's not Git. And there's a difference there.
True, but the new one is DevOps/GitOps/DevSecOps.
Okay, fair enough.
So
it'll have had some effect, but not as much as I thought then. Because I was looking for GitOps and I didn't see it in last year's. But DevOps was at 24%. So add that together, you add up to about 60%.
Yeah.
And if you add the DevOps and the software else, now you get about 40%. So yeah, it went down. I do think it has changed a little bit how they change the categories in there. But yeah, apparently then we don't need lifecycle management tools anymore.
Or maybe like people were investing in them last year. They got them right all in the first case. And that's it. They're now moving on to the next biggest challenge that they have.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see next year's state of the OSS with the whole HashiCorp thing changing licenses and open tofu coming up.
Yeah.
Probably people are going to be swapping over one for the other, and that should give them a little bump then.
Yeah, the other thing that has changed a decent amount is that last year, desktop and personal productivity was right down near the bottom, and now it's about halfway up. Oh, so maybe that means next year is the year of the Linux desktop.
Missed it. This year was the year of Linux desktop with the whole Steam handheld.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, technically that's last year, but anyway. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
I think there's a few things, again, a little bit like the last one. There's a few things that have like gone up a space or down a space, but it does seem to be generally quite consistent.
Yeah.
You should be quite happy that blockchain is consistently low.
It's going down. Lost 2%. Yes. The one I was thinking about here is that I'm surprised that the frameworks and tooling for AI MLDL hasn't gone up more. It actually went down. Last year was 14%, this year is 11%. Oh, there will be some survey bias in there with who they asked the questions to. But with the whole emergence of GenAI, LLMs and all that stuff, I would have expected more people to jump on the train and do stuff with AI, but apparently that is not the case.
Well, again, you know, it's the results from, effectively
last year.
Yeah, last year.
But that's what I mean. I would expect it this year, but not last year. Because last year you had the open source things like Llama 2, the leaked ones, Llama 2 and the open source alpacas, who were not at the same level as ChatGPT 3 at that point, but competitive. The gap has widened because OSS, I haven't really seen any new OSS LLMs come up anymore that improved a lot upon what they already had, while the ChatGPTs and stuff have really improved a lot. So the gap went bigger. So I would expect this year that people say, okay, open source LLMs, let's wait until the next generative evolvement and see what we can do then.
Maybe.
But this was last year when it was actually competitive-ish.
Maybe.
Too complicated, perhaps?
Maybe. Not sure. The only other thing
I would
note...
be sure? You're a podcast host. You have to be full of certainty. That's your job, man. Come on.
Yeah. A strong opinion's wrongly held. the only other thing that I would point out is there is actually at least one new entry, which is storage technologies in this year's, which wasn't present in last year's. It is, however, all the way down at the bottom. So
that's still 7%-ish. Yeah. But what would that mean? Because I used to have an open source storage technology here, which was called FreeNAS, and that disappeared. It now all held under the TrueNAS moniker.
I mean, I would think that's more things like, you know, Ceph or MinIO or stuff like that.
Yeah, but that hasn't really come up recently. I mean, Ceph has been pretty much stable over time. MinIO, Gluster, same-ish.
But
there's new things coming there.
I mean, it just means that this is now a new category that they've added because people obviously they're trying to reduce the number of people that are like other, and they're probably asking the questions of like, what is this other? They're just trying to add more options. But yeah.
No, I don't buy that because last year's other was 1%. This year's other is 4%. So
But
you can't replace 1% other with 6% of storage technology.
Yeah, there are more. There are more options this time. But anyway, let us move on so we can see if we can get at least two graphs.
It's a small one, this one. How are you addressing the shortage of open source software skills and no hiring us? We're podcast hosts. We don't do any open source stuff anymore, right?
All I do is open source. Anyway, no, not quite true. Not quite true. But, I mean, I'm not sure. Am I surprised? But no, I'm not. I'm not surprised by this, actually. So the number one, the kind of top reason, 45% or thereabouts, is providing internal or external training. So that suggests to me that most organizations are investing in the people they already have first and foremost before they are kind of hiring people externally, which generally I'm a huge fan of. Like, I think investing in your people is always a good thing to do. And the fact that that is the top result of how people are trying to address the shortage of open source software skills, I think it's a really good sign.
Yeah, I totally agree. Always try to source inside before getting new people in, because hiring new people is always a bit of a risk. I mean, it could be a perfect match, could be not so perfect match. And especially if you're hiring someone to fill a gap, you're typically, as an employer, not in a very strong position in a negotiation. Because you're kind of depending on that person at that point. So, you know, definitely. I also like the fact that they, if you go down the graph, by the way, these graphs didn't exist in last year's state of the OSS, so it can't contrast. So it's good that they added this. Contractors being at the third position, also I like to see very nicely. I have nothing against consultants, but again, if you use a consultant, you will lose that knowledge, that experience when the consultancy engagement ends, or you will be paying them for the rest of your life. In which case, well, hire somebody, because typically open source stuff, if you're using it, and it's not just a hobby project, it's very close to the core, the basic level of what you're actually doing. So having that knowledge internally really makes sense. And consultants, in my opinion, well, not consultants themselves, but consultancy agents, agencies, businesses, they live on billing hours, and maintaining what exists will give them less hours than telling the persons, you have this, but this is way better, so let's change this. And that gives more chaos. I mean, not saying they're all like this, but it is something that I see happen quite a lot.
I think that's up to a certain extent. You, if you're going to work with a, you know, a consultancy organization or work with a bunch of consultants, like, you can't abdicate your responsibility for setting the vision of what you want done. Like, that's still up to you to define what you want done, and you can have some of the details you can delegate to the consultants or consultancy, but I still think you need to have a strong vision for what it is that you want to see. Otherwise, not only that could happen, but also maybe the other things that I've also seen happen is people implementing things that actually, I wouldn't say necessarily aren't suit for purpose, but aren't quite the direction that the organization was wanting to go, because they didn't set clear expectations. They didn't keep a close handle on what was being done. And then you end up with something that doesn't actually meet the requirements that they had. And then you've got a whole bunch of rework, and it's not due to malice or on anyone's side. It's just a lack of understanding or a lack of clear direction setting and a lack of sort of close project management, I would say, or oversight, something like that.
Yeah, maybe not malice, but I do feel things have changed in the last couple of years. People are taking more ownership of their outsourced resources, if I can call it that. While 5 years ago, for example, people, and we want to start using open source, we don't know anything about open source, hey, consultancy firm, do our open source thing. That used to happen quite a bit, with not always good results. Well, these days, I do see people indeed hiring individual consultants to temporarily improve their knowledge base.
Staff augmentation.
and no longer just outsource the whole thing and you make it happen because I don't understand how it works anyway and I don't have time for it. It's not important enough for me to spend time upon. That kind of mindset has gone away a little bit. And that's, I think, part of the whole continual maturization, is that a word it is now, of open source in bigger enterprise and things like that. It's not just a hobby thing. It's not just a stopgap thing anymore. Nope, it's part of this is how we do things.
I mean, at least three other interesting things I'll hear. Like, one is that, you know,
one at a time.
I'm going to try. So working from the top and working my way down, like the fact that nearly 21% of people responded with the fact that they're actually delaying projects that have new open source technologies on them because of skill shortages is kind of interesting. Like, again, people can select multiple answers here. Like, you know, this doesn't add up to 100%. So that's something to bear in mind. You know, so someone could be providing internal or external training and delaying projects with new open source technologies, as, you know, that could very much be the case. So that was kind of one thing. I'm not sure that I'm surprised at the size or the percentage. It's just a curiosity to me. I don't very often hear organizations delaying projects like that for those reasons.
For me, okay, it says delaying. I would translate it to prioritizing, because 20% is like one project in five. I can imagine if you have you're a company, you have five projects running, one of them will be at the bottom of the pile and maybe will get delayed because, so I think it's a good choice to delay them and not to forge ahead with them, regardless of not having enough skilled people. So it's a good choice. And 20% for me, I mean, sometimes you have to wait for something to happen, something to mature. We had a big problem with hardware acquisition. You just couldn't buy servers, and it's still a little bit happening. So that can also be a reason. Of course, this graph goes specifically about software skill shortage, open source software skills. But no, I don't have a problem with that per se. I actually think it's a good decision. And especially, as you said, coupled with the top three, where people are actually actively working on solving the problem.
This
is temporary.
Yeah. The next one for me is the 16% of folks actually don't have a skills shortage, which I think that's a really positive number. I'm genuinely like very impressed that it's that high, because as we talked last episode, there is generally speaking, when it comes to areas like open source software skills, there is generally in the industry a skills shortage. So 16% of folks aren't feeling that. Awesome. Great for them. And let's hope that that number starts to, you know, creep its way up over the coming years.
Okay, it's funny because I have a totally different read on this number.
Okay.
This is the group that is either delusional or has no motivation to do anything new. Any company, every company, everywhere should have a skill shortage. Otherwise, they're not moving up. They're maintaining the status quo. Because even if you're not doing open source, even if just repairing cars for all I care, which is a very difficult thing to do, I wouldn't know how to do it. You always have a skill shortage because things change. And not having a skill shortage means you don't have to train, educate your personal people anymore. That is just bad. So for me, these are people that don't actually know what they're missing.
Right. Okay. Very, very different perspective. Neither of us are necessarily right. Maybe the right answer is somewhere in the middle.
I'm probably wrong, but that's fine.
And then the final one, to me, this one's a little bit weird. Like, apparently 13% of people don't know how they're addressing the shortage of open source software skills, which I get that there's a very wide range of people that were surveyed, but I would have thought even a developer at an organization, which I think is essentially the sort of the lowest title of folks that were surveyed, I would have thought that they would have had some handle and some understanding of what an organization is doing to address shortages of skills, but I don't know, maybe I'm delusional.
Yeah, this could be about communication up and down the chain as well. I mean, for me, this category is actually in a better position than the one before with the, they say that don't have any sort of skill shortages, because at least this 13% know that they don't know. And it's a bit of the known unknowns and unknown unknowns.
Yep.
The known unknowns are way more useful than the unknown unknowns, because again, you're in delusion land then. So I think it's good that people realize that, yeah, we probably have an issue, but we don't know. Of course, you can't assume that then the next step for them is to figure it out. That's probably going to be optimistic, but yeah. I think it's a nice graph. I hope they continue it next year.
Yeah, definitely. All right, should we try one more?
Oh, it's a big one. I really want to do that one.
Let's give it a shot, because although it's a big one, I don't think there's actually there's too big of a story here, but let's see.
So this is talking about the top challenges using open source software. Now, there are a couple of graphs here that I had to kind of mush together to have some kind of an overview. It's not that easy to compare the two, but basically this is talking about, okay, you've adopted open source. What kind of problems did you start having now?
Yeah. And for me, the reason that I think this is not too much of a big deal is the top three, although the wording doesn't line up exactly, the top three are actually very, very similar. Maybe like the one difference I would say is installation upgrades and configuration issues. Like last year was down towards the bottom, this year it's up to the top. But that being said, like last year, the over three quarters of the results were within 10% of each other. You know, the entire range went from 41% of people down to 31% of people, which to me it's kind of interesting. So like people were very equally feeling the pain on almost all of these things last year, whereas this year it's keeping up with updates and patches, personnel experience and proficiency, and installation upgrades and configuration issues, which it sort of, and these are all at the 40-ish percent, and then there's like a pretty big drop, and then it sort of ramps, you know, long tails down from there. So I don't know. I don't think that that's anything particularly surprising. It sounds like people have adopted a bunch of stuff and now are scrambling to keep it. They're realizing the cost of open source is actually the ongoing maintenance. It's the keeping things up to date and aligned. And when you've got a bunch of different projects, you know, how do you make sure that they all work well together and that you're upgrading them in some sort of semblance of order that makes sense and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, I actually think that the top three for this year are all the same, because installing, upgrading and configuration issues are because you can't keep up with updates and patches because you don't have enough personal experience and proficiency, which makes sense that they all have the same score because it's actually the same problem, right?
Yeah.
So that makes total sense. One thing I did note is that in this year's lack of documentation pops up at 20%, and I don't see that one last year. So it's kind of surprising, that one, because I have the feeling that, and this could be totally wrong because I'm living in a bubble, that there's less chaos in open source these days. The days of having 20 new projects pop up and becoming popular and used every week are kind of behind us. It's more stabilizing. Bigger projects are doing a lot of stuff still, but it's not that chaotic anymore. But apparently documentation has gone back downhill.
Well, I don't know, because actually lack of documentation is in the second graph from last year, and it's right down at the bottom.
Yeah, but that's specific for infrastructure, and the top ones are about software.
Yeah, but if you...
Yeah, okay, I can...
Combined both the results. So the graphs, you can't directly...
Yeah, it's hard to do,
You can't directly draw a line between them. But yeah, I mean, the sort of... The only other thing I would say is... We've got a new graph, which is keeping up with updates and patches. And you know, it's a pretty small percentage of folks that find it very challenging.
14%.
Yeah.
That's not small.
I mean, that still means that 85% of it don't find it very challenging. I still think that's a pretty good ratio all in all. But the interesting thing for me is that it's around about, I think, around about 60-ish percent of folks find it a combination of not challenging and somewhat challenging. And it's actually pretty consistent whether you're an early stage startup all the way up to having more than 5,000 employees, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, it's a line that's very consistent across all of those different employer sizes.
Yeah, the thing that I kind of think I notice here is I'm surprised. I would expect that for an early startup, it's less challenging because typically startups are created by technical people who've been doing something for a while and now become organized and they pretty much know how to do this thing.
Which is reflected by the not challenging thing.
Yep, exactly. So that mm-hmm. kind of works out. And then when it gets bigger, you get more issues. Mm-hmm. But I would then assume that the bigger you get, the more you can standardize, have trained people, and the easier it would go. But if you then go up until the biggest size here, 5,000 employees, the not challenging reduces significantly mm-hmm. from 31% to 17%, which kind of means that early stage companies that grow aren't able to keep up with their OSS needs, if that's a way to say it.
Could be. But then again, that also doesn't necessarily surprise me, because as organizations grow, their infrastructure and their platforms are likely to get more complex and more complicated. So I think that aligns actually with as organizations grow. And then, you know, as organizations get past that 5,000 employee state, that covers a whole multitude of sins in organization sizes, let's face it. The thing for me that's kind of interesting is that there is a very, very kind of definitive line around that 60 to 63-ish percent of people that find it both, you know, combination of not challenging or somewhat challenging across all of the employer sizes, which is...
The mutation is from not challenging to somewhat challenging. So maybe by getting more people, you get more people complaining. So it still works out, but people complain more.
maybe. Well, in terms of people complaining, what we don't want is people complaining that this episode is too long. So I think, unless there's anything else from you, Jan?
No, let's keep it for next time.
All right. Well, that is then all the time we have today. You can support this podcast by becoming a Patreon. Every contribution really does help. We are on YouTube. You can like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and do all the YouTube things. You can also go to roaringelephant.org and get a link to our Patreon page and for more information about the podcast. We're also genuinely welcome email. Please send us an email to podcast@roaringelephant.org if you have any thoughts or feedback. However, until next time, my name is 60% Dave.
And my name is, I'm sure we have no skill shortage on this podcast. Jon?
Not so sure about that. However, we still look forward to talking to you next week.
Goodbye.
See you then.